Ramirez running tonight. Welcome back to another hour of the Flip Side. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America. And to all the freedom-loving Christians and patriots all across this great republic and around the world, we do welcome you to the Flip Side tonight. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett, as Robbie is over on the coast enjoying his week of much-needed vitamin D, as he calls it, sunshine to the rest of us. Glad to have you with us here tonight. I'm going to take care of a little bit of quick business. We've got a very interesting guest that's going to be with us tonight for the entire hour. And I will share with you a little bit about our guests in a few moments. But let's take care of some market stuff right from the get-go. To give you an idea, it was quite an unusual day. Gold opened up. Silver did quite well today. Gold didn't stay up. Didn't take a bloodbath. Oh, no, 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 no. We watched the everything across Wall Street just dove today. The Dow Jones Industrial was down 63 points. NASDAQ dropped almost 38 points today. Standard & Poor's 500 dropped almost 13 points. Russell 2000, 15.5 points. The transportations dropped 76 points, roughly. The utilities dropped about 3.3 points. 10-year bond dropped today. It's been an interesting day. What did the metals do? Well, I guess they did it all because the former governor of Illinois has been sentenced to 6.5 years of prison. That means, instead of having an ex-wife named Jerry Ryan, he gets to go to prison and be called Jerry Ryan for the next 6.5 years. Anyway, gold ended basically in the aftermarket. Gold is at $634.15 an ounce right now. Silver still holding above $13 an ounce. Platinum broke the day kind of even, still holding at yesterday's close at $1,271. Palladium at about $356. Interesting things going on in the markets. Also a very interesting speech by our illustrious leader, Jorge Bush, today, who is kind of doing a reversal. He's letting the cat out of the bag, talking about these private prisons in America. We might have to kind of digest that situation for tomorrow night's program, so we'll find out. Let's talk a little bit about the guest who will be joining us after the break. I've known of this man for some years. I did not meet him until 2 years ago, became quite amazed at his background, exceedingly well-educated. He is an ordained minister. He has a doctorate from the Phoenix University of Theology. The thing that is so interesting about this gentleman is for the past 15 years, he has portrayed Patrick Henry in various ministries and churches around the country, approaching our heritage and doing it from the standpoint of being Patrick Henry. And a year ago, he added George Washington and Thomas Jefferson to his characterizations. We'll share more with you about Lance Hurley in a few moments. I left you a teaser with last night's program, and I'll reopen with that when we come back from the break. Stick around for an hour of program that we call Who Do You Trust? See you on the flip side.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If joint pain, stiffness, or discomfort stops you from enjoying the things you like to do, now there's help. Introducing Joint Nutrients, the all-new, fast-acting, all-natural, great-tasting liquid formula that, when taken as directed, can help relieve the pain associated with osteoarthritis and with no harmful side effects. Joint Nutrients help restore and replenish joint fluid that is lost with aging, certain injuries, or constant pounding of the joints. And unlike other products that simply address the pain, Joint Nutrients goes to work to start repairing and correcting natural joint function while providing the relief you need. So if you are one of the millions of Americans who suffer from arthritis, then you need Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670. 1-866-240-5670. Reduce arthritis pain, increase flexibility, and enhance joint health with Joint Nutrients. Call 1-866-240-5670.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I don't want to waste a lot of time with music this evening. Welcome back to The Flip Side. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett. Before I bring our guest on, I want to do a little bit of a setup, which he and I have not really had much chance to discuss. For some of you who have been very long-time listeners of my career in broadcasting, most of you, because I'm fairly open about it, realize, and I've been very open, that in my lifetime, I have been very fortunate in my real estate dealings. And it's not because I've been so smart, it's just the timing has been right in most instances. Most of the equity that I have, per se, is in my home. I have not really ever been one who has invested a lot of money in stocks and bonds and things of that nature. I've got a moderate life insurance policy, etc. And a year or so ago, I started talking to a good friend of mine who had decided to get into the insurance business, and she and I both know the guest that's coming on today. In fact, she actually introduced me to him. I'd been very aware of him for a good number of years, but she introduced me. And in a roundabout way, I found out that he was involved with a business that I never knew he was involved with, or I certainly would have talked to him much sooner than that. But to give you some basic background, most of you know that not investing in the typical visible investment vehicles in my life. Certainly, I've lost money by not doing that. I've also maintained a degree of privacy by not doing that. Many of you know that I've been an avid coin collector since the age of 10, in addition to dealing with it professionally. Yes, I own gold, silver. I own collectible coins, stamps, a lot of art in my home. And about a year and a half ago, I began to realize that, Bennett, you're not getting any younger. I've got to take serious consideration as to how I'm going to protect all of this. I don't want to go with the normal will, because I realize that if something were to happen to myself or my wife or both of us together, the estate's going to get wrapped up in the courts and probate and in the hands of the government for at least 6 to 9 months in most instances. And so I began to seriously consider a trust. But everything I knew about trusts, you know, living trusts and revocable and non-revocable and, or irrevocable is the proper word. Everybody indicates to me you can run on down to the Holiday Inn, you can go ahead and get a nice little presentation, maybe a couple of free little luncheon or dinner tickets, and by the time it's done, these guys want to charge between $3,000 and $5,000 to help you set up a trust. And I began realizing that these trusts don't cost that much money to set up. My biggest concern was protecting what I have, to hand it down to my children and my grandchildren. And most of you know my feelings about my grandchildren. Our guest this evening, as I mentioned before the break, is an ordained minister, has a doctorate from Phoenix University of Theology. He has portrayed on the stage, and I suppose I would say the stage of many churches around the country, he has portrayed Patrick Henry for 15 years, and a year ago added the characters of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson to his I can't even think of the proper word here. The interesting thing about our guest, Lance Hurley, by the way, his ancestor was a drummer boy in the Continental Army. Lance is, in fact, distantly related to George Washington. Lance, given how long ago George Washington was alive, I certainly hope you're distantly related because you're not that old. Anyway, Lance has addressed both houses of the Arizona legislature. He has spoken at the state capitals of Arizona, Colorado, Arkansas on the National Day of Prayer. He is seen frequently on our local affiliate of TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. His wife, Sharon, is a praise and worship leader. She's been featured at several women's retreats and conferences around the state of Arizona and has also written the words and music to some of her own songs. She also portrays her characters, along with her husband, in costume, and very interesting. One final thing I have to say before I bring Lance on, there's a very unusual tie-in, given the fact that he has portrayed Patrick Henry for all these years, and I don't think he knew this the whole time, but we'll find out in just a moment. Patrick Henry, as I mentioned to all of you at the close of last night's broadcast, you all know who Patrick Henry is, right? You know, the guy that says, give me liberty or give me death? He drew the very first living trust in America. Without further ado, Lance Hurley, welcome to The Flip Side. Glad to have you here.
Well, thanks very much for having me on, Jeffrey.
Well, didn't mean to drag out that intro, but I felt it kind of important to give a little bit of background as to how I became more interested in trust. And I must also be very open and share with the audience that Lance actually has written my family's trust for us. And I really have no qualms about sharing that kind of information because it validates, I think much of what we've discussed here validates why I chose to go with you. We certainly have a commonality in some political beliefs and certainly,
yes,
I hope, spiritual beliefs, et cetera.
Yes, sir.
Talk to us about trusts. I mean, what is a trust and what are the different kinds? And I don't even know where to begin. It's yours.
Okay. Well, you gave a wonderful a background on my ministry, not too much on the financial planning and the estate planning side. So let me just preface it. I'll make a couple of remarks before I get into that then.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. I am a certified financial planner. I've been in the financial planning business since 1970. And once upon a time, I even had my own radio talk show called MoneyWise. And for 7 years in another city, I wrote a weekly column on financial planning. And I've been helping people set up living trusts, well, I guess now for 36 years. Living trusts holds a lot of mystique for a lot of people. They think, well, this is just something for the super wealthy. And, yeah, the super wealthy should have them, although I'm interested to know that I astoundingly continue to run into people who don't have them. I was working with a client the other day who has multi-millions, and he is sitting there with no will and no trust and nothing. He's an absolute disaster waiting to happen.
Is it because people just don't understand trust, or they're just afraid they don't know who to approach? We can open up the Arizona Republic on Sunday, and here's Joe and Blo that for, you know, you can come to the meeting at the Princess Hilton on Tuesday and Thursday afternoon for a free dinner, and they're going to give you all the reasons you need to buy a trust from them.
Right.
So we know, as I mentioned earlier, how expensive that can be. But is that the reason so many people don't have it? Do they think they're going to live forever, or they just don't understand it?
They don't understand it, and they don't think it applies to them. And a smaller version of the problem is that often I'm finding if a client brings this up with their CPA or attorney, the first thing the attorney or CPA is going to sit down and say, well, let's figure out your net worth. And they're going to say, oh, well, you don't have an estate tax problem, so you don't need a trust. Well, that's one of about 20 reasons why you might want to have a living trust is the estate tax scenario. So let me just tell you the advantages. Well, let me start another one. Let me tell you the potential problems if you're sitting out there with just a simple will, or as we call it in this industry, a I love you kind of thing. Most people have a will that says when I die, I leave everything to my spouse, and if my spouse is deceased or after my spouse is deceased, I want to leave it to my children or maybe my grandchildren. Well, that's fine. That's what probably the vast majority of your radio listeners, you know, want to have happen. The problem is absolutely no guarantee that will ever happen. If you have all your assets in joint tenancy, which most people do, at death, all those assets pass to your spouse. Now, here's the problem. Your spouse remarries, and she and her new husband, or you or your husband, your deceased and your husband and his new wife get married, and they go out and execute the same kind of wills that you did. And now he or she passes away. Well, what's happened is you have just successfully disinherited your children from your estate, and this happens every day in America. So that's the number one potential problem with a will. And don't tell me my spouse would never do that. Folks, it happens all the time in complete ignorance. So there's
absolutely, but I have a quick question for
sure.
you. If in fact you've disinherited because of the remarriage, is what
mm-hmm.
you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another form of disinheriting, and that's when you leave it all in the hands of the probate courts. Now a real sick question
is, and
unfortunately I'm kind of jumping, and this is what happens as you begin to go along. It really begins
right.
to open up a new set of questions for
no
you.
No problem.
If you have an attorney sitting there saying, oh, you don't need a trust because
mm-hmm.
you don't have an estate large
mm-hmm.
enough.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the attorney's insidious way of hoping he's going to get a bigger piece of the pie to settle when you die?
I don't really want to say that because in talking about, I mean, well, I will say this. Attorneys are taught to write wills. Estate planning in most law schools is an elective course. It's not required. And, yes, many people refer to it as the will of business as the attorney's retirement plan. But I would prefer to think that, no, most attorneys are not estate planning attorneys, and they really think that if you don't have an estate tax, why would you need a trust? So that's how I'll handle that one. Another problem, with a will, what if, let's say you have young kids and you and your spouse are both in a car accident. Well, now another set of problems is, well, who's going to raise your two children? And you say, well, my sister Sue will. Well, maybe yes, maybe not. You'll never know because the state in Arizona, anyway, most other states, they are going to decide who's going to raise your children. They may choose someone that you never would have chosen. So you don't even have that right to name who your children are going to be. Then, let's say you're sitting out there today and a radio listener and your kids are 16, 15, and 14. Two of them are doing great. The other one would blow all the money overnight. Well, if both of you are gone, when they're 18, they get it all. They can blow it overnight. So you've got that problem. If you own real estate in more than one state, the state you're living in or another state, you're going to go through double probate. It's going to go through probate in that state. It's going to come back here into Arizona, or that's where it works here anyway. Go through probate here, double probate. So now you've had two double probate fees.
Oh boy.
So
you're saying a trust, we should be able to avoid that.
A trust properly funded, and we'll get into some of the horror stories I see when people try to do their own trust, or they go to Office Max and spend $45 and say, "Hey, I've got a trust." There's an old axiom in this business, and that is, you get what you pay for.
Well, it's understandable, very understandable. Keep going.
Okay.
I told you I won't interrupt you.
No problem. If I hit on something that's going to do. Here's a set of. So that's the first. First of all, probate is a matter of public record. You can get on the internet, and you can find out they were passed away. Get on the internet, find out exactly what was in her state because they have to go make a report to the court. Probate, as you mentioned earlier, in most states it's got to last 9 months. I'll tell you a horror story in a moment. One that lasted that personal knowledge in lasted 19 months, and the estate was only $330,000. There was no debt, and the widow left it to her two sons, but took them 19 months to settle at about $23,000 in costs, which could have been avoided had she had a trust. So probate is public record. Attorney fees involved. Some states go by a percentage of your estate. Some states go by just a flat hourly rate. But the biggest problem is that the people left behind, it's an emotional nightmare. This thing can drag on. they may or may not be able to get access to all the assets. It all depends how things are set up. And if there's a business involved, that many times can be a horror story, too.
Well, business is one thing. I also look at it because I've been talking to my sister-in-law. Actually, I've been talking to my niece about this. And as you well know, my niece is one of our co-executors or surviving mm-hmm. executors of our trust. Mm-hmm. And she and I had a very long talk about this the other night. And no, folks, this is not one of those funny uncle and niece stories. This is a real uncle and niece story. And the reality is she had no knowledge of this. And she's very concerned with her mother's situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on us something that I've not even shared with you. My wife and sister actually own a condominium together in Illinois, and I'd forgotten about that. And so it's obviously something we're going to have to get, or at least get my wife's portion of it put in
mm-hmm.
or figure out how it's going to work. And there's intricacies, but
you've inadvertently touched on another huge problem of having a relative on the same piece of property.
Yes.
Let's say your aunt, your wife's sister?
Yes.
She gets an auto accident, gets sued, loses, and they start and her insurance doesn't cover the judgment. An attorney starts looking, ooh, here's a piece of property with her name on it. There goes that property. Which is the next danger, and I see this all the time. Older people, they put their children on their bank account. They put their children on their home, and that mm-hmm. is a disaster mm-hmm. waiting to happen, because if that child gets sued, that asset could be gone. What if that child's married and there's a divorce? The attorney may take the position half that asset belongs to the other relative.
Well, now wait a minute. So what you're saying is because my wife and sister are co-owners, and
that came about
through a will. And so if my sister-in-law should get sued for some horrendous reason,
mm-hmm.
and they can't get enough out of the lawsuit value, what you're saying is they could actually come after my wife's assets.
Well. Your sister owns half of it, so let's say they just get a judgment for half. Well, that means what? A forced sale.
Yes.
And Jeffrey, with your vast experience in real estate, let me ask you a question. Does real estate sell better when it's a forced sale or when you don't have to sell it?
When you don't have to sell it, of course.
And this would be a forced sale.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of forced sales, I years ago I was speaking to about 75 realtors here in Phoenix about a week after John Wayne died. And I said, let me tell you what's going to happen to John Wayne's estate. And I proceeded to tell them, you know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that was going to go into probate fees and what the estate taxes were going to be. And I said, you're probably wondering how I know this. And so someone said, well, sure, how? Because I read in the paper what his probatable estate was.
See,
John Wayne didn't have a trust. About 2 years ago here in the Arizona Republic, Roy Rogers, big article, his children were forced to sell his saddle and spurs for $490,000, and the article said, we didn't see a penny of it. It went all to pay the government and the attorneys. So
even the big boys aren't
big
setting
boys are
themselves
generally in
up
the worst
properly.
Shape. Remember Howard Hughes?
Yes.
Couldn't even find a will.
It went on forever.
Because they're
for
all
years.
The big guys are protected by all their attorneys and CPAs. But see, none of them are estate planning. They're, you know, they're protecting them, you know, to get their money from the deals that they do and everything else. So not all the big boys even do this, but a living trust, it's secretive. There's no probate. It starts now. Someone dies, it just continues on. You get to choose who's going to manage your estate after both you and your spouse are gone. Or if you're a single person or a widower out there, if your assets are in your name, it's all going to go through probate. Again, if you have your children on there, you run the potential risk there. A better solution is to have, you know, to have your own trust. And
you see, you brought up one interesting point that's got to appeal to about 95% of our listeners right now tonight.
Okay.
The fact that it is secretive.
Yes.
It's not made public knowledge. Look, we've got listeners out there that are as around the rest of America, they're eking it out week to week. Maybe they're living in a mobile home that they own. Maybe they're renting it, or, you know, they're living in a standard stick-built home. I also know that we've got some extremely well-heeled clients out there, some very wealthy listeners and clients. And I know because some of them have spent a considerable amount of money with Republic Trading Group, which is
mm-hmm.
a division of this network.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be amazing how few of those people probably have trust. But you've just kicked one of the big factors, the privacy issue, the fact that your estate is now not made public to everybody else in your town so that the so-called long-lost relative could come out of the woodworks, who may or may not be a relative. That's a big focal point to our clientele and our listeners, well, is the privacy
thing,
element.
Right. Another thing, too, is challengeable. I mean, wills get challenged all the time. It's very, very difficult to challenge a trust because, again, it's called living. It continues mm-hmm. on. And we have successor trustees. Then, and of course, then with that, you end up with what we call a pour-over will, which basically, in layman's terms, says, well, in case I forgot to put something in the trust, I meant it to get in there. And then, of course, it allows you then, if you have minor children, to name your guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's also, trust can be, it's a great tool to have, particularly if you have a child who, that's handicapped, you know, either physically or emotionally or mentally. You have provisions in there, particularly like if you're getting state aid, you want to make sure that child doesn't get the money because then he or she will lose the state aid. So there's provisions, you know, that you can put in for that. See, I use an attorney to do the trust that I do. I probably have set up over 1,500 trusts in my career. And, you know, again, the word out to those out there who did it yourself off the Internet or in the store, if it ever gets challenged, you haven't done it right, would you rather have an attorney standing behind it or just yourself?
And that's a problem because a lot of our folks don't have an awful lot of trust in attorneys. But
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, it still comes down to, do you want to spend? And I you know, we'll get into some estimated cost factors a
mm-hmm.
little bit later. But, you know, the terrible thing is I can see this topic going on for several hours because
oh, yeah, we
so
haven't
many
scratched
questions.
The surface and we're about halfway through the program.
Exactly. And it's so easy. But it's, you know, there are times that an attorney can certainly be beneficial. And this
yes.
Obviously is one of those times, specifically in the setting it up. My wife and I spent, you know, several hours with you, and
mm-hmm.
I know that you're going to answer more questions for me tonight before we get off of this, and it's probably going to raise more questions. and that's the key, and I think that's what needs to be shared with the listening audience, is the number one, I think, that the establishment of the reasons, the whys and wherefores of having a trust. We may need another night to begin to break it down further. But if you don't mind, let me ask you one question,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a very important one. We've talked about John Wayne, Roy Rogers. You've talked about another client that was worth had an estate worth $300,000. I don't know if that was net or gross. It
that was gross, but there was no debt.
How large of an estate does one need to have to consider a trust, or is the dollar amount not necessarily the issue here?
Well, one thing, I'll tell you what most clients tell me once the trust is all done and everything, I hear this probably 7 out of 10 times. I have the first peace of mind I've had in years about my financial situation. That's typically what comes out of this. It's the peace of mind when you've done everything you can now to protect your estate. The $330,000 was the lady that I knew well, and I had recommended a living trust to her, and she chose to put it just into a simple will.
Hmm.
So there's what happened. Now, let me tell you, let's assume for the moment that your listener...
Well, we're going to have to hold on that one.
All right.
Got to go for the bottom of the hour break, and we'll have the rest of the half hour. Stay with us. Our guest today, Lance Hurdy. We're going to attempt to answer the question, who do you trust? Stay with us. We'll see you on the flip side of the commercials.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
We're back for the second half hour of The Flip Side. Your host, Jeffrey Bennett, tonight with our guest, Lance Hurley. We're talking about living trusts. And as I tongue-in-cheek have this way of calling the program, Who Do You Trust? Because I think that's really what a lot of it comes down to. Lance, earlier you spoke about the potential of a divorce and, oh, my ex-wife wouldn't do that. And, well, your ex-wife will do to you exactly what the government will do to you if you leave it in their hands. So that's where the Who Do You Trust comes in. And I think that really has a lot to do with why one wishes to set up a living trust.
And let me just say that because your remark there made me think of something else. Particularly if it's a second or a third marriage with his, ours, the heirs, children, a living trust is just almost a necessity. Because how are you going to protect your children? And do you want the other spouse's children, who maybe you don't like at all, or maybe you do, you know, to get some? It just depends. Every situation is unique. So, you know, real quick, I'm just going to summarize the benefits from having one, and then let me tell you what you get along with the trust itself. First of all, you cannot put a price on peace of mind. I'll just say that up front. You're going to save your family thousands of dollars in court costs and attorney's fees. You're going to save your family months or years of court proceedings. Your family's personal financial affairs are out of the court system, therefore they're not public record. And depending upon your estate, you may completely eliminate or reduce the federal estate taxes that you owe. Joint tenancy is generally the worst way to title property, so you get around that. And I mentioned earlier that with a will, sometimes the heirs will challenge it. But see, a trust is a contract, and it's interpreted under contract law. That's what makes it difficult to contest in a will. Mm-hmm. When you die, you give your family complete control over your property without involving attorneys. Again, you avoid that double probate. And you maintain complete control over your. This sometimes comes up. We haven't touched on it yet. You and your spouse or whoever maintain complete control of your assets during your lifetime, because you can change or revoke your trust anytime you wish, until one of you passes away. And I'll get back to that in a minute. It provides for your care in the event of physical or mental incapacity. You can provide for continuity for your business interests. And there is no separate income tax return to file for the trust. And here's a biggie. A properly drafted trust, which my attorney does, will give your personal resident a 100% step up in cost upon the death of either spouse. With joint tenancy, you only get a half step up in basis. You get a 100% step up basis on the entire property upon the death of either spouse.
What does that mean? Just in simple layman's terms, what is meant by a step up, right?
Well, say you had $1 million property, and your cost base in it is $300. There's the $700,000 gain. If it was
okay in
a joint tenancy, you split it in half, and there's an exemption there. But then the other one is going to be fully 100% taxable. So the step up on that $1 million property is now $1 million cost basis.
Uh-huh.
So it could be extremely significant.
Given certain areas of the country, how we've had, and certainly we in Arizona have had
Arizona.
Tremendous
mm-hmm.
gains. California has. But there's other areas that have had it as well. Yes, we're seeing some downturns, but I don't think the downturns are going to certainly wipe out what the gains have been. But then who the heck knows
who in this
crazy
knows
society
that?
Anymore?
Yeah. As I said, it's revocable up until one of you passes away. So this is, people need to listen. Okay, so what happens? I'm married and I die. Well, half of it is now irrevocable. Your half, let's say if the husband dies, okay, his half is irrevocable. You can still give your spouse income from it if you want, as long as she lives. If she remarries, you can have it continue. You can have it stop. But she can't go in there and just, you know, pillage it. So, and so if she remarries, she can tell her new husband, hey, I'm not worth as much as you think I am because half of this my husband owns. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go out and sell a house and divide it. It now becomes an accounting process type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing with a trust, you definitely want to let your children know that you have one. You want to let your beneficiaries know that you have one so that if a spouse passes away, they know there's this trust and they know that they're a beneficiary. Very important, particularly if they don't trust the person who's now managing it.
Right, right.
Sometimes people say, well, okay, well, what's the disadvantage of a trust? There's really only two. Number one, the initial cost. And number two, it's a little pain in the beginning to get it funded. You have to put your deeds into it. You change your bank accounts into it. You put your cars into it. You change your brokerage accounts into it. You can get it all done in 4 hours. It's just, you have to just sit down and do this. And then after that, you just keep it funded by the trust. Now, the attorney will prepare the deeds, so that's easy enough to do to get the your real estate into the trust. And the other, like I say, you might spend a half a day at the bank and the auto at the motor vehicle department, you know, letter with your stockbroker.
Oh, well, in Arizona, that'll be a day and a half.
This is true. I think I spent an hour and a half. I went down. Now I have my own living trust, and I bought a new vehicle, so I paid cash for it. And I went down there. It took me an hour and a half. I had to stand in line to get it done. So, yeah, you're right. It can take a long time here. But let me tell you what else you get with a living trust. I mentioned earlier you do get the pour-over will, which would cover guardianship. If you have minor children. These other documents, I pray no one will ever need it, but this could be the one reason why you do this above anything else. Number one, you get what's called a medical directive to physicians. What does that mean? Well, that means if you're in a car, let's say you and your husband are both in a car wreck and you go into the hospital, and neither one of you can make medical decisions on the behalf of the other one. The hospital's going to be loath to make those decisions. Your kids could be there, so I know mom would want this. Fine, go get an attorney, run down to the court, get them to authorize it and come back. What's that? Time, delay, emotion, expense.
The trust medical, is now established that.
Well, the trust is, well, yes, but now you're going to have this other document that you get with it. This is a medical directive. This says that basically if I'm incapacitated, the following people in this order can make those medical decisions for me. So it's very important if you do this process that you make sure that your doctor and the hospital where you think you might be going has a copy of the medical directive. You want all the people you've named to have a copy of the medical directive.
Mm.
And the same thing for a living will. If you want to avoid this Elizabeth Schiavo fiasco, in Florida, I think, a few years ago.
Yeah, Terry Schiavo.
Terry, thank you. Same scenario. And generally, people name the same set of people. But again, that document is given. Then you want to get a durable power of attorney. You get that with it as well. So you have a durable power of attorney, a living will, a medical directive to physician, and the pour over will, and the living trust. So this is this, and the whole kit goes together, and that's what you get.
Now, I teased earlier about the guys that advertise in the Arizona Republic and probably the L.A. Times and the Chicago Tribune and, mm-hmm. and every other newspaper in any city of consequence. These little traveling road shows you see advertised on television. Hey, over at the Princess Hotel or at the Holiday Inn in Scottsdale at 2 p.m. Thursday and 1 p.m. on Friday type thing. You can go in and they'll get you free dinner tickets and lunch tickets. And they sit down for a 2 or 3 hour deal. They give you a paper and pencil and have you try to determine what you think the value of your estate is. And then, of course, they take a couple of these examples, get up on stage, and they completely destroy everything that you thought you were going to continue to be able to maintain ownership of, and in effect then scare people into buying trusts from them right then and there for probably an average of $3,000 to $5,000. Is that fairly typical? And number one, and number two, what are they getting with those $3,000 to $5,000 trust packages that I did not get working with you?
Well, number one, they don't get anything different than what you got. Hopefully they will get everything that you got.
Yeah. Well, and that was my whole point, because obviously I knew the answer to that question,
obviously.
But I wanted that to be shared with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But it is amazing how much. I mean, look, this program is sponsored in part by certainly Republic Trading Group, and we obviously have competitors out there that deal in gold and silver. And about an hour, a half hour or so before you and I went on the air tonight, I got a call from a gentleman who's been dealing with one of the companies, shall we just say, up in the land of 10,000 lakes, and he's upset. He's been waiting 7 weeks for his product.
Mm.
We start discussing product prices, and we're finding out that a particular gold piece that I might sell for $320, this company is selling the exact same piece, not a variation of it, but the exact same piece for over $390.
Wow.
And wait a minute, they're paying $390 up there, and they're having to wait over 7 weeks to get it? There's some obvious problems here. So I use that really as the analogy with what's happening here. They're going to pay a higher price, and they may or may not get all the various additions.
Well, let's just assume that they do. Let's just assume that they do. But I've been doing trusts since 1970. I've seen living trusts that were. I saw one living trust that was 3 pages long, and I've seen living trusts that was about 90 pages long.
Let's assume that you were that I had gone 6 months before and had bought into one of those other trusts by somebody else. It doesn't matter who. I don't think that's the issue. What are the inherent problems that you personally see in some of the trusts that you review that maybe had been set up with other people?
Well, the biggest problem I can think of off the top is they come into town, do this, and they're gone. And now they may tell you, okay, now you need to go fund this trust, and here's what you need to do, and then they leave. And you say, we need to go out and do this, and we'll get around to it sometime. Well, days go by, weeks go by, or you mistakenly think that, and I see, I sat down with
you mistakenly
someone,
think that they've already done all
that
this
they've
for
done,
you.
I sat down, the first question I ask with someone says, well, I have a living trust, and I say, great. Let me ask, can I just ask a few questions? Sure. And 7 out of 10 times, this is what happens. I'll say, tell me, how's your house titled? Is it in joint tenancy? Oh, yeah, that's how we have it titled. Well,
yeah.
Was it?
That's
got to
be the first giveaway, because
that's
what you no longer want.
Right. So most people, I mean, I've had some even argue with me just in the trust, and I just said, you paid money, and there's nothing in it. So if you work with me, you get very good guidelines on what to do. And like I say, I do assure you that at least I know the real estate's going to get in there, because the attorney will prepare the deeds to get that done. And by the way, nothing about it. Unlike a will, which some states, have peculiarities about the will, so you might go to one state with a great will, but it's not valid in that state, or there's some things missing from it. A living trust is valid in all 50 states. You can draw a living trust in Alaska, move to Timbuktu in Florida, your trust is great. You don't have to redo the trust whatsoever. So I only say that because I'm in Arizona. I've got clients all over America that I've done trust for.
Interesting. Yeah, because I know that is a concern. I mean, I know certainly people who do move, and maybe move every few years. Maybe it's because it's job-related. It could be any number of gypsy-type-related circumstances. But so, sure, if a guy sets up a trust with you who lives in South Carolina, and he winds up moving to Washington State or to Oregon, that trust is going to completely transfer. I mean, obviously, when he gets there, buys a new piece of property, he's going to want to make sure it's titled in the name of the trust. And is that, in fact, the proper way to word it? It's titled in the name of the trust?
Yeah, for example, let's say the couple's name is Bob and Mary Smith, and the trust is, they do the trust, and the day that it's funded, which means all the documents are signed and notarized, is August 20th. So the name of the trust becomes the Bob and Mary Jones Trust, dated August 20th, 2006. That would be the official name of the trust for everything, the car, the vehicles, the bank accounts. And
how far down, I mean, you know, we talk about funding the trust, and we instantly start thinking about the title on the vehicles, or the what they call a vehicle title. And, of course, in this particular case, we're not necessarily talking yet about vehicles you're making payments on. These are vehicles that you own free and clear.
Right. Now, some states will not get, let's talk about that a minute. In some states, some states will give you the title even though there's a lien against the vehicle. If they give you the title, then most states will let you go down and put that in the trust. Why? Because the lien goes with it. In Arizona, you do not get the title until the vehicle's free and clear.
Yeah, and that only happened a couple of years ago.
That's true. Up until then, you could do it. So it depends on the state. But the name of the game is everything that has a title to it, you put in there. I don't care if it's a golf cart worth $1,000. My deceased father-in-law, God rest his soul, died about a year ago. He had a living trust. He had everything in it but this little old golf cart. It might as well have been a $5 million piece of property for all the turmoil, the hoops that we had to jump through. We went down to the vehicle department three different times in order to get it so we could sell it over a little golf cart. So a lot of times people say, well, I didn't put my car in. Or I hear this sometimes.
No. You did not read your father-in-law's will carefully enough, his trust. It specifically said, I am to be buried with this golf cart. You guys overlooked the fine print.
That's right, Jeffrey. You're right. I didn't see any of this until after he passed away. But that was a good one. I have to remember that story. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to go to anybody. Yeah.
Well, you and I have talked about this because, as you know, I've got some listeners and clients who have done IRAs, individual retirement accounts, with us. And one of our clients came to us some months ago and wanted to do this conversion into this program we call the Golden IRA. And, of course, they have a living trust. And there is, it, by the way, happens to be fully funded. I've seen it all.
Okay.
And they wanted to put the IRA in the name of the trust. And, of course, no, you can't do that. IRA means exactly that, individual retirement account. However, you can make the beneficiary of the IRA the trust. Is that correct?
Yes, you can, but let me tell you why I normally don't recommend that.
All right.
If you do make the trust the first beneficiary, that means at your death, the IRA is going to go in the trust and it's 100% taxable. If you have a spouse, generally the way I set my clients up is you name the spouse first beneficiary, then the trust after that. So that gives the spouse the opportunity to roll it into her or his own or to start taking payments, et cetera, et cetera. But if you make, now sometimes in a situation, if there are no beneficiaries or there's a deceased spouse when you're setting this up, then you would probably make the trust the beneficiary. But like I say, it's a danger in just doing it without really thinking about what you're doing, which is why every trust that I do with a client, I mean, I'll find out all their financial. I mean, it's not a one size fits all, and that's the danger of going off the internet or into an Office Max. If one size doesn't fit all. Almost everybody I sit down, there's something unique. Either it's a second marriage, or there's a child they want to disinherit, or the child they don't want to disinherit, but they don't think one of them ever get the money. There's some clients like yourself who wanted to go to the grandchildren. There's the second, third. I mean, the worst thing you can do is just take one off the shelf and think it's going to work for you.
Well, you know, you bring up the grandchildren thing, and actually I want to ask you this question, then I want to share with our audience several things. Number one, your website, which is in itself completely unrelated to everything we've discussed here tonight, but also want to give some information out if they have our listeners have a potential interest in talking with you. If you have a phone number they can reach you, I want to give that out. But let me interject a question first. You bring up the grandchildren situation. And in my particular case, our purposes were to help them be able to fund a higher level of education at some point in time in the future when they reach that age. Now, most of the audience knows my granddaughters are 2 and 6 respectively, so we've got a number of years. But folks, the years go by pretty quickly. And in our particular case, through thankfully your guidance, I didn't want the money just to be available for them to have hand over to the kids so they can just start writing their tuition checks. If I remember correctly, the trust can actually pay the tuition and pay for the books, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And if the kids put their hands on the money, you can forget it. They'll never complete the education. They're going to have a new car and a new big screen TV, and I don't care how well you bring them up. It's just human nature. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's another advantage either for the grandchildren or the children, if you have minor children, because the people you've named as a successor trustee, and that's why you're going to name 2 or 3 along the way, so in case one of them has passed away or whatever, they're going to have control over the money. And if you really trust these people, you give them somewhat of a leeway in that if at some point the grandchild, let's say the grandchild is now 21, they went through college straight A's, you know, could handle, if you gave them $500,000, they'd stick it all in a CD, you know, that kind of a thing. And if you were alive, you'd say, you know what, give it to them because I know they're going to handle it well. But you're leaving that option. That's what you may or may not have done, and you're trusting the trustee to do that in your stead.
Well, it's interesting. My wife has shared some of this with her sister. Her sister shared even smaller amounts with my niece. And, of course, that's the funny one because it's my niece and I that we've had the greatest degree of conversation about this, to the point that my niece said, you know, Uncle Jeffrey, my mother has just completely left herself out in the cold. She needs to look at something like this. Mm-hmm. So I will be talking with her later this evening and having her at least go in and download the archives of this program. Before we get too carried away, I would like to, and maybe you and I can talk about this tomorrow, I'd like to talk about having you back here in the near future so we can pick up and continue on with this.
That would be wonderful.
And
maybe
possibly even take some calls from listeners.
Perhaps, let me give my website, which is my ministry website, but, you know, my passion, as you know, is to, for my wife and I to go speak at a school, a convention, or a church, and that's
And Patrick Henry, I mean Lance Hurley, is available for that. So
yes.
Make a note of this.
Yes. My website is Hurley, that's HurleyPatriot.org. And then my email, if you want to email me to talk about a trust, it's HurleyPatriot@Cox.net. HurleyPatriot@Cox.net.
Cox is COX.net. That's HurleyPatriot@Cox.net. So for those of you listening tonight, if you have an interest or you've got some questions or you have an interest in possibly discussing a trust with Lance, send him an email. Also, do go visit his website, HurleyPatriot.org. I think there's, my problem is I'm, as you well know, this is one of these arenas that even though we are setting this up, we still have some final details to conclude mine. But it's one of these things where a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, Lance, is because I've known too many various people and organizations that have used the alternative media and used this so-called a sphere of patriot radio to come on and make these all sorts of these tax evasion packages available and pseudo trusts and hey, offshore this and Aruba and
I don't do any of that.
And it's not to say that there may not be some validity in some of those.
No,
but unfortunately,
that's true, but
an awful lot of those people have gotten left in the dust because the person setting it up took the money, never gave them the full and proper education, left them kind of hanging there, and then all of a sudden one day one or both of the spouses were gone and the trust turned out to be poof, gone with the wind. It never really was a trust because, once again, it was never funded. It was never completed. And I think these are minor details that, you know, it takes a little bit of work. It takes a few hours worth of work and effort to get this done, and it is an extremely affordable, I like to call it a commodity, but it's a safety net. And I think possibly in maybe our next conversation we can discuss some cost benefits and things of that nature if you're in a position to do that.
Sure.
But I really want to invite folks to contact you by email. Now, some of our listeners are shortwave listeners only, Lance. They are not on the Internet. They do not have computer access. Is there a phone number where they can reach you?
Well, I'd rather just give them my mailing address.
Please, go for it.
Yeah, that P.O. Box 1976. Sun City, SUNCITY, Arizona, 85372. Again, P.O. Box 1976, Sun City, Arizona, 85372.
Do they address that in care of you, Lance Hurley?
Yeah, Lance Hurley would be fine. L-A-N-C-E-H-U-R-L-E-Y.
Okay. I think it would be a good thing to do. And I one of the reasons why I'm not even objectionable you're not doing the phone number is because, frankly, a lot of times you'll have guests of your caliber on, and they'll start having to field telephone calls that are... They're trying to get you to validate something that they've done with someone else, and that's fine to a point, but either the letter or the email is probably going to be the best way to reach Lance, and then if you guys can decide you want to talk further, you progress from there. But and we'll talk a little bit later or tomorrow and see about bringing you back up. I don't know what your schedule is for the next week. I kind of control this time slot or thereabouts at least through next Tuesday night, and when Robbie will be returning, and then we'll start our alternating evenings again. So let's see what works for you. We'll schedule something for another night, and I really would like to open up to some callers because I think that they may have questions to ask that I can't even think to ask.
And that could be good. And as I sit here and think of some other horror stories out there and some other things like I could have brought up, but. Let me just say, as a rule of thumb, I would say that, at least in Arizona, as a rough rule of thumb, I would say if you're a single person or widowed or a widower, if you're total, and I'm talking gross estate now, your total gross estate for a single person about $200,000 or more, I would say you definitely need a trust. Even if you don't need the trust, these other documents, the living will, the medical directive, those could be, and of course, then it doesn't cost near as much as for the trust just to get those documents, because those documents may be the thing that's going to save your estate a ton of money and a ton of emotion. So everybody needs those. So, I would just say as a rough rule of thumb. So, and again, gross estate. So.
Very good. Lance Hurley, I thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having
me. I'm going to cut you loose. I've got about 30 seconds of babbling time I've got to do here. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us here on The Flip Side. Our guest this evening, Lance Hurley, talking about trust. Who do you trust? We'll have him back up again. Republic Trading Group, 1-800-691-7898. Be glad to take care of you with your precious nettles needs. And until the good Lord sees fit for us to come together again, hopefully tomorrow night, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.